This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you look at their squad, their roster, the sustained success that they've had, obviously I think it starts top down with them, their head coach, their quarterback, their defensive coordinator, guys that are all really, really dang good at what they do. Anytime you're going against a quarterback like Pat, you got to make sure that on the offensive side of the ball, you're doing everything right. So again, that's all we're trying to do is just have a good week of practice and then just try to go out there and execute against a really good defense on Sunday.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen ahead of Bills Chiefs. We've got the injury update. It's scary about the guys that could miss this game. But we'll see. The Bills, I've got some stats on Bills and Chiefs for you here. Pro Football Talk's front page has this, Joe. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. The Bills are favored. The Chiefs' record as underdogs, they are 11-3 as underdogs. And some of those losses would be to the Bills, right? The Bills tend to beat them. There's only one team that has ever covered against the Chiefs, and that is the Bills. That's it.
When they're an underdog?
When the only team to have been a favorite and covered against the Chiefs is the Bills.
So am I right then in connecting dots that 11-3 record that all three are the Bills?
Might be.
That would make sense, right? If they're the only team that's covered, you have to win the game to cover.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, let me look that up. That might be right, though. They might be the only team of those three losses. It might be the Bills.
How's everybody feeling about this game right now? Right? It's Thursday.
You know,
all right.
I was thinking about one way that might make you feel confident about the Bills. Yesterday, I was thinking, you know, if I were to ask all Bills fans, who do you feel like is more likely to win by a blowout in this game? Don't you think it's the Bills?
Yeah, because the Bills routinely blow teams out, and the Chiefs do not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's not just this year. That's other years, too. I feel like I'm not seeing the Chiefs dominate by 30 the way they did 3-4 years ago.
Right. You've seen the Bills, and it's only one time, but that's more than normal, that they've been blown out this season. By Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. But, like, I don't know. I feel like a Chiefs blowout win feels like it's on another planet. Like, it doesn't even feel like it's possible, even though it's probably possible. Right? It's got to be possible. Even if you don't think they're a 9-0 team, which I don't. Like, I think they're probably more whatever win total adjusted. It's like 7-2. But still, 7-2. Like they're a really good football team. You could get beat bad on any day, and I feel like it would be stunning if the Bills were to lose by like multiple touchdowns in this game. Versus if the Bills won by multiple touchdowns, like I don't know, like that doesn't seem that far fetched for me.
I'm going back to look at the last however many years. Like the Chiefs have, I think I've got the number at 3 wins of 20 or more in the last 3 seasons. And the Bills have 4 this year.
That's incredible.
Right. Like, they don't blow teams out that regularly. They got a 23-point win against the Niners in 2022. They got a blowout win against the Rams. No, I'm sorry, that was only 16 points. They got a win against the Bears, 41-10. 38. There's a preseason game. So they just, again, like, it doesn't, are these style points or they matter? Sometimes I do get stuck on that. Sometimes I don't want to really look at point differential too much because the Bills are a team that for the last however many years, the McDermott era, the Josh Allen era, how many double-digit leads have they blown versus how many double-digit leads do they turn into? You know, they're up by 10. What are they gonna, what's the final score going to be? They're going to win by 25.
Right.
And here are the Chiefs. When they're down 10, they rally to win. That's one game script that – has that happened against the Bills? The Mahomes' record when they get down two scores is over 500. He's the only guy ever for that. And these teams have played seven times in the last 5 years. This is about to be the eighth. And how many times have the Chiefs been down double digits where the Bills have to protect that lead? It's, I feel like it's that one game, the Storm game, 38-24. But it's neither one of these teams gets up on the other by 10. It just seems like it doesn't happen that much.
Right. The Chiefs have this record, though, don't they, of coming back? There's a couple of these. Mahomes has a couple of these. One of them that I've seen that I don't have off the top, offhand right now, is like the Chiefs, when they're trailing by double digits, are like 6-5. In the last like 2 years or something, where there's no other team in the league that's even like near 500. I don't know. Like, they really test the theory, or maybe it's not even a test of the theory. Maybe they're just an anomaly outside of a truth, which is if you play a lot of close games, you're going to have to get bounces. You're going to have to get lucky. There's going to be regression. This has happened for Pittsburgh when they were 11-0 a couple of years ago, and there was regression. And Minnesota, when they won a million games 2 years ago, also with a million one-score games, there was regression. And they ended up losing in a playoff game to Daniel Jones. It might be possible that that is true. You play a lot of one-score games, and you got to get lucky, and there's going to be regression to the mean, except for Kansas City.
Right.
Like, it could be I'm open to the possibility that they are the one team that it could be true that for a long period of time that they are able to just that doesn't include us. Like, we're above that. And for whatever reason that is. But once you start getting into like 5 years of their record being 30 games above 500 in one score games, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I think you have to, at some point, I don't even know if I'm there yet. Like, I feel like I'm still wanting to believe that there is regression coming, but what am I going to do, wait here for 10 years and it just never comes?
Yeah, there was a time at the start of this year because, again, Rice got hurt, Hollywood Brown got hurt. I was approaching this year with the Chiefs where, and Worthy, I mean, I've been afraid of what Worthy can be for their offense, not as a number one, but as an element to what they do. I mean, they're an offense that, you know, like we've talked about here, like, they just always find ways, and they're always, whether it's the play caller or the quarterback, they've got these little edges that they exploit. That's one of the reasons when they got Worthy, I've been nervous about that. And as much as we could sit here and say all the things that have gone wrong for the Bills, man, for that Chiefs offense, a lot has gone wrong. Losing Rice for the year, losing, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster was limited to practice, so he might be closer to return. But think about that. Like, Juju was an answer for them at one point. They decided he wasn't good enough, and they had to go crawling back to Juju Smith-Schuster. He got hurt after having a big day. It looked like Hollywood Brown might be a big part for them. That was their big move this offseason, was Hollywood Brown, and he got hurt. So at the start of the year, Joe, I was thinking about this Chiefs team with the concept of, what if we're about to see an even better version of them? And I don't think we are seeing that, but here they are 9-0. Like, it doesn't even make sense that they could be like this and keep winning games like this. So The Bills are doing a good job this week of talking it all down, just another game, can't get too hyped for it. I was listening to the afternoon show with regard to 13 seconds. Like, are these guys walking around thinking about 13 seconds? Mm-hmm. Is it top of mind? And my guess is it does not get mentioned. But
right.
Well, I think it would be impossible not to think about that team as the team that stopped you when you thought it was your year. And you probably thought that multiple times. That there's no way when you play them in the regular season, even though Allen said, he flat out said it, got to beat them in January, that's all that matters. Got to beat them in the playoffs, that's all that matters. That we all get that. I understand the context. I understand with how that works. But there is no way in a world of sports where all we do is watch bulletin board material get thrown around left and right. The Dolphins tweeted an emoji, and the Bills took it personally. Here the Chiefs are coming to your building. They routinely end your season. I don't believe you if you try to tell me it's just any other game.
Well, it's not nobody, but how many guys from that 13 seconds team are even on the roster right now?
The quarterback. That's all that matters.
The quarterback is.
That's all that matters. They all play for him.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback, the coach. Plenty of the maybe not plenty of the defensive players anymore. Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen.
Yep. Knox is still here, so there's a few.
But you don't have to be there just for 13 seconds. How about last year? That's the team that did it to you again. Again, and they did it in your building. We live in a world where every single thing is a slight against you and used as, oh, wow, can you believe that so-and-so didn't say he's the best quarterback we faced all year, blah, blah, blah. They ended your season last year. Now you get a chance to take away their undefeated year. If the Bills were, instead of 8-2, 2-8, would people say this game has meaning? Because at least you can play spoiler. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of irony in how this game is, by some, talked about as if it has no meaning, when it clearly does.
I think it could be two things. I think you could want them to win badly and it not be meaningful. Because that's kind of what I think. I think I will, and when the game starts, it'll be for me the same way. Like, I'm going to desperately want the Bills to win that football game. And the next day, I know the game's going to have no meaning. By the time we get to January, we're not going to care about it.
The next day, you're going to be making appointments to watch every Chiefs game to see if they slip once.
No, right.
As opposed to writing off the one seed.
Right. To me, what I meant by that is the in the context of like what it means for them in a playoff matchup against the Chiefs.
That's
but
fine,
in terms of the one seed, yes, that is, because that dies if you lose on Sunday. And you have a real race, I think, down the stretch if you're able to win that game on Sunday. Like, to me, that is and stopping them from going undefeated to me are like the only two things to me that have any real meaning in this football game.
Well, I'll throw another one here. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on this. Jeremy and Joe talking Chiefs. What else is new? We'll talk to Paul coming up out of the hour about the Sabres news. But on some level, I mean, I get it. I'm obsessed with the Chiefs. I'm always thinking about them first. It's why when they traded with them on draft night, I was mad.
Right.
I was upset about it. If they had traded with the Steelers, I would not have cared. They traded with the Chiefs, and I was worried about that. I remain worried about that, what that will look like. And I'm guilty of it, Joe. Every time people point out were these catches, I say, wait till a game in January. That's where I'm going to care about it the most. But anyway, that said, it is not going to be a guarantee that when the Bills make the Super Bowl, they even go through the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
If we think this team is not that good, they keep eking out these wins. They beat Baltimore by a foot. They beat Cincinnati on a 4th-and-16. Then getting as high as you can go as the Bills is, of course, what you should want, because you eliminate having to play a playoff game. You get teams here in your building, which there's no doubt that is an advantage. I know that they've lost to Cincinnati and Kansas City here, but this year so far, let's look at this year. How many losses they have, Joe? Two.
Mm-hmm.
Where were those losses?
Two teams on the road, that are going to win their division.
And
maybe not Baltimore, but yeah.
Maybe not Baltimore. They're 0-2. They lost two games on the road.
Yeah.
And they win at home. And their win streak at home, outside of that Chiefs game where we talk about the injuries, like, this could just be – is home field advantage still a thing? I know it's not maybe what it used to be. But I want to treat home field advantage like it matters. As long as the race is still there to be had, I want the Bills to be in that race.
Yeah.
And I don't need to think about, well, it doesn't matter where I play the Chiefs, because I might not play them.
That part, though, is going – that's tough to – it's possible. But there's no path an AFC team has had to a Super Bowl that doesn't go through Kansas City since Tom Brady was the Patriots quarterback. Right?
But some year, some team will – and it will still count.
Before the AFC Championship game? That's what I mean. Like, it's them.
Some year, some team
this
will.
This is where, actually, like, to me, the meaning of the one seed could even get ramped up. Because it's early, but, man, there is a real... Look what happened to the Eagles 2 years ago. How much benefit you can get from an easier path. And they got a freak accident that helped their path be even easier when the Eagles played the Niners without a quarterback in the NFC Championship game. But they did not play the wild card round. And then they got Daniel Jones and the Giants in round two. Like, they got a free pass to their conference championship, essentially, by getting the one seed that year.
Yep.
And it's not quite the same. It's not going to be Daniel Jones and the Giants, I don't think. I don't think there'll be a team like that in the AFC playoffs. But, man, like, the difference between the one seed and the two, you could have to go, if you're the two, and you are hosting your first game, and you got to play that wild card game against whoever it is, and then the next round, you got to go play the AFC North winner. And that might even be here. But still, that's a tough game. So now your path might go, okay, whoever, the Chargers, Ravens, Chiefs. That's your path to get to a Super Bowl if you are the two seed. Versus if you're able to accomplish the one seed, the difference between that and no wild card game, Houston in round two, and then hosting the Chiefs. Right? Like, you still would have to go through Kansas City in that hypothetical, or Baltimore, but like, to me, that exercise displays how much value there is in the one seed. Your path could be infinitely easier to get to the Super Bowl, the difference between number one and number two.
Maybe right now Bills fans are feeling like home field advantage rings a little hollow with back-to-back playoff losses at home, right? Cincinnati,
right,
and Kansas City.
Howard had the stat earlier in the week, right, that their regular season home streak is they've won 23 of 25, and what were the two losses? The Minnesota game, which was a freak game.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the other one was, but like basically they should be 25-0.
It was Denver.
Denver with
two
the 12 men.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So like there's an alternate universe that doesn't even have that much different where they're 25-0 in the regular season at home in the last 25.
All the comparisons for the Chiefs over the years now are about those Patriots. Don't NFL, if I can use the word historians here, or any NFL fan, how did the Patriots manage to make as many Super Bowls as they did? Well, they were awesome, right? Their quarterback was amazing. Their coach was amazing. But they also had, how often, a built-in division title, and they lived in the era where there were two byes. So all the time, they were getting a free pass to the second round because their division was so bad. And here, you know, now there's only one of those spots. It is still live, and the Bills are one of the few teams that can still go and get it from that team. There's enough season left. I know, like, for the Bills, beating San Francisco and the Rams and the Lions, like, these might be pretty tall tasks, but is that any bigger than the Chiefs having to beat Denver again, who they just should have lost to, and to beat the Steelers,
yeah,
who I guess are pretty good this year? So I want to keep that live. There have been years where the one seed has not mattered a lot to me, has not meant that much, and I would have maybe even said before this year, sure, whatever, but now we're more than halfway through, and it looks like a two-horse race for it. And there's one game here that will either end that race or keep it live for the next 6 weeks. And I feel like that matters to me.
Wow. To your point about New England, in 20 years with Brady on the Patriots, how many times do you think they played in the wild card round?
Twice.
Four times.
Yeah.
They had
16 byes, Joe. 16 byes.
I think it's something like that. Yeah, 15 or 16 byes.
I mean, it's built in.
Divisional round. Like every year, they started in the divisional round. Every year. He had two wild card wins in his career. There you go with the Patriots. Two wild card wins. The Bills really listen, like, it's, you know, a lot of things here. It's a little bit of unlucky that the Bills got this good right when they changed the rules. Because haven't they been the two seed twice?
Yes.
Like, and they've not lost these wild card games, but so I guess, you know, that kind of poo-poos the point a little bit, but they got great, and then bam, oh yeah, we're gonna make it so only the top team got the bye. And I liked that. I thought that was smart. I liked that the NFL added that playoff team, and they made the one seed more valuable by doing that. But the Bills certainly have got the short end of the stick a little bit, because they would have had multiple byes in the previous format that they changed right before Josh Allen got great.
Right, and last year, in the game where they didn't get the byes, Pittsburgh, didn't they lose a couple players?
They lost a bunch. Like, yeah, they lost.
It made it tougher.
Yeah.
Instead of just being healthy, now you go into a game against the Chiefs and you're banged up. Mark on a cell. Let's go to Mark next. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I got four things, but it's going to be under a minute. It's going to be very quick. 3 points, one quick question. First of all, I didn't have my coffee this morning. Man, I called 806 instead of 803, 550, and the guy answers all tired. And you know what he says to me? He goes, oh, my God, thank God you called me up, man. I would have missed the show. That was number one. Number two. I have the key to winning the Super Bowl, guys. Listen up. You ready for this? Mm. Now, home games, you got to get McDermott out there to party with the people and have every Bill Mafia fan go and rub his head. They rub that bald head, and I'm telling you, we're going to win the Super Bowl. You got to get a lot. You got to get, like, we got to do a thing or something where they get, like, a million head rubs or something, and we'll win the Super Bowl this year.
Let's go to Jason in Amherst. Hey, Jason.
Hey, just calling to basically say I agree with Jeremy's point. This game matters. You're playing the world champions who are undefeated. They're going to have probably Taylor Swift, like the world's richest performer, watching, celebrating every time they score against us. You have Travis Kelce, who's kind of like an 80s movie villain to me. This game matters. And even if it isn't the Super Bowl or the playoffs, if we beat the Chiefs, I party in my living room with my family. I go to bed happy. It's a big deal for, I feel like, everyone. I feel like the whole country, you know, at this point the Chiefs have beat up every team. I would imagine a lot of people are rooting for the Bills. It's a cool moment. It's a big moment. And also, when you beat a team, I figure you do something right, and then there's videotape that other coaches can use. I mean, the Chiefs could drop a couple games after this if we figure something out that works. I mean, this is a huge game. Can't wait to watch it. I've been nervous all week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'll tell you who's super invested in this, kind of half-kidding, is the New York Times playoff machine. Whether or not they get traffic from Buffalo, I mean, I got Joe, without this win, what am I going to do?
There's really no point to visit it.
Yeah.
You might do the playoff simulator for ESPN. That's why they'll be rooting, because that one you can look for seating and whatnot, or like who you play.
803-0550. More of your calls on the other side. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton on the state of the Sabres. They picked up James Reimer off waivers, have some injury news as well, and they play the St. Louis Blues tonight. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Multiple Super Bowl champion, so got to give him his respect. He can make all the amazing plays, you know, when he's on the field. So trying to entertain him. First play, we call it like the first play during the play, and then his scramble ability just to make different plays when he's using his feet throwing the ball down the field. So just got to cover him twice and just contain the guys, really.
Cam Lewis on this matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs, and of course Patrick Mahomes. Lot of buying time in the pocket and scrambling outside the pocket for these two quarterbacks. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. We've got a Sabres game coming up tonight. An update from Paul Hamilton on some roster news in a moment as well. Get a call in, though, quickly. We'll go to DJ in Lockport. Hey, DJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, you don't worry about the dump button. I'm not going to throw any bombs at you.
Thank you.
But So I got 2 points. First one about the player, the guy that's getting announced for the Bills game. The first thing I thought of was that boomer that Tom Brady took from Nate Clemens. So I'm thinking maybe it's Nate Clemens. I like Sam Adams' idea of those two because that was a pretty pretty infamous play, that rumble, whatever they named it. But my point about the Bills game was the guys like Nick Wright, you know, all the ESPN guys, the clapping head, the big guys, there's one outcome to this game that's going to, to me, be significant for the Bills, is if we go out there and just stomp them. If it's a, you know, three-score game, and the Bills look great. Allen has, you know, four touchdowns, 300 yards, couple, you know, 50 yards rushing. If we have one of those games, I think it's going to be a significant win. Whether we win or lose in a close game, I feel like that whole narrative, you know, the Bills Super Bowl or they can't beat the Chiefs is going to happen again. So ideally, that's where I'm coming from. If they go out there and just put a whooping on them, it's going to mean something to me. I hope it's going to mean something to everybody else. But I'm looking forward to the game. I think Allen's going to have a good one, and we'll see what happens. But go Bills and have a good day, guys.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks, DJ.
Thanks, DJ.
It would be wild to see them, like, honestly, it would be as crazy as it was to see the Bills beaten by the Ravens the way they were. It just doesn't ever happen to the Bills. And, boy, I don't know the last time the Chiefs lost like that. Is it the Super Bowl against the Bucs?
They lost a game to Tennessee, like 31-3 a couple years ago, but I might be going back three
it's
years.
It's rare,
honestly.
Yeah. That might be another part of this matchup is everybody's stressed out expecting it to be close. It's just going to, like, protect yourself at all costs. Anyway.
And then very quickly in Legend of the Game, I have a new number one that someone tweeted in, or Blue Sky didn't even. Arthur Motes.
Motes, when he knocks out Favre?
Yep.
All right.
Easily stands above the rest.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline, some Sabres chatter. Paul, I don't know if you were up early listening to our Legend of the Game. We will be revealing who the Bills' Legend of the Game is at 9:45, and the clue I've been given, I do not know the answer. The clue I've been given is, when I tell you who it is, I know the highlight you'll pick. So, you know, what does that tell you about who it could or couldn't be? Like, it's not Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly has too many, right? So, it's kind of...
Someone that's got a highlight that stands above the rest.
Yeah, the Sam Adams answer I like a lot. You know, the pick six against Brady where he didn't exactly touch the ball too many times. So.
The Ed Ronan of the Bills for this game, maybe.
Oh, wow.
That's a one-hit wonder for the
Somebody
Sabres,
who's returned a kick, and that's about all he's done.
Yeah.
You know,
Nyheim Hines,
that won a big game.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Paul, news on the Sabres. Where should we begin? The good news is Tage Thompson day-to-day, so not thought to be a serious problem. If he misses tonight, he misses his revenge game against the Blues. But day-to-day, a big sigh of relief because I think a lot of Sabres fans might feel without Tage, they are in real trouble.
Yeah, I think a lot were very worried that it could have been long-term, and that's something that they absolutely could not afford. Lukanen, too, he's also day-to-day. As Lindy Ruff revealed, he was dealing with something from the practice before during the game. He felt it was hindering him during the game, so that's why he pulled him after two periods. So, but, yeah, that's, I think, the best news you could get other than him showing up at practice yesterday. So we'll see. There are possibilities for tonight, but even if they do miss tonight, as I said, I think you can say, well, at least it's not going to be a long-term situation.
You know, Paul, as you mentioned, the Lukanen situation, and also we have the news that they claimed Reimer off waivers, James Reimer, who they had waived, and he went to Anaheim, now he's back. What's going on with the goaltending situation? Do you feel like they are finding their way here? I mean, Levi, should I be wanting him to play more? Should he be back in Rochester because he needs to play? Because for his development, he's not getting in that much. And when he is, he's not playing particularly well.
Yeah, that's why I was a little puzzled by, you know, what Lindy Ruff said. You know, he talked about, you know, Levi. I had asked that, you know, neither goal that were scored on him in the third period was his fault at all the other night. But the first two shots are in the net, and he didn't have a save till 15 minutes into the period. So I said, do you worry about him at all? And I was thinking about his last two starts, too. And Lindy said no because of his work ethic. And, you know, he does have a hard work ethic and everything. But, you know, then he said what he does in practice is something that can keep him ready without playing. And I thought, well, that's where I'm puzzled, because it has not gone well for him. The last two starts he's had have not been good. You know, he had, you know, it didn't go well for him in relief the other night. So, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I think he needs to be playing, and it looks like it is affecting him, you know, that he hasn't been in the net. Now, I understand why, you know, when Reimer was reclaimed, they just put him on the roster and have three goalies, probably because, you know, Lukanen's a question mark tonight. So, you know, he might be playing tonight. And so, you know, that until they know Lukanen's okay and everything, I don't think Levi would go down to Rochester or anything like that. So we'll see. I think, yes, he needs to go down there. I think he needs to play a lot. And, you know, Lindy Ruff said this week that he's starting to understand Lukanen, something that we saw last year, that the more he played, the better he got. And he just kept playing, and he kept getting better. And by the end of the year, he had played more than any other goaltender down the stretch. And it was going well for him. And that's when he took over the number one spot. And it kind of started happening this year, too. Back and forth wasn't working. And until the Montreal game, again, where he was dealing with a small injury, according to Lindy Ruff, he started playing really, really well because he was in the net. What was it, 9 out of 10 games, I believe, something like that. So that's not going to work for Levi, I don't think. So I think once they get this situation straightened out, I think he needs to go down.
Do you know, Paul, it feels like Levi going to Rochester might be more likely and make more sense. But if they wanted to put Reimer in Rochester, could they do that now, different from before?
Yep. Okay. These waivers last for 30 days. And 30 days on the roster here. So, yeah, he can go down now, and okay, they don't have to worry about, you know, Anaheim now claiming him back or somebody else claiming him back or anything like that.
Thompson only being day-to-day, Paul, just how enormous do you think that is? Because it felt like, to me, if there's anyone on this roster they had to replace, I mean, that's probably the hardest guy to replace, because offensively, especially down the middle, he's kind of been it so far this year.
Yeah, when he scored that goal against Montreal, he was the leading goal scorer in the NHL. Now, Cole Caulfield went by him because he's also scored in the game, and was, by the time the game was over, he had one more goal than Thompson. But Thompson's playing really well, as is his line. I mean, his line spends an awful lot of time in the offensive zone, creating opportunities. Paterka's been putting the puck in the net. Tuck has been getting points. And, you know, they've been really well. And I agree. They cannot afford to lose him for any length of time. If they do lose him for any length of time, I know the old saying, next man up and all that kind of stuff. I just don't think it'll work. I think he would be the guy that, if he's out long term, where you could say, well, they're done. Because I just don't see how they could replace him. And even with him in the lineup, they're having trouble getting consistency as a team. If he isn't in the lineup, I just think it would be a disaster for them.
On the flip side, we'll call this Eye on the Blue and Gold, as we chat with Paul Hamilton here. And Eye on the Blue and Gold is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lake Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. The injury to Samuelson, Paul, I mean, we're never wanting anybody to be hurt. And, of course, he's like a Sabres core piece, but he went to the press box, and they won some games. And, you know, he'd been trying to find it. We asked Lindy if he saw anything out of Samuelson to indicate the message was received, and his answer was basically, well, there wasn't really enough time to find out. And now we're going to be weeks even more removed from this. So the Samuelson story arc here is a lot of the same, right? It's a lot of he is hurt all the time.
Yeah, it is. He just can't stay healthy, and Lindy Ruff tagged it as weeks. He didn't say months, but he said weeks. It's going to be long term. He will not need surgery for whatever it is, but it was another one of those freak things. A lot of people were complaining because they thought he got slew footed. You can't see the actual slew foot, but you can assume that's probably what happened. But that's, I don't believe, is the injury, because it was his left leg that he was favoring. It was his right leg that got slew-footed. What happened is when he went down, his left leg folded under him. And so that's where I think the injury happened, is when it folded under him, and just a freak thing. And He had something similar. I remember a leg folded under him in one of the injuries he had recently, back behind the back wall. It was a road game, and it just folded under him, just kind of a freak thing. But you got to be available, you know, to play. You can't, you know, always have injuries and everything. I mean, it's not his fault that he keeps getting hurt. It's just that's what's been happening to him, and he can't stay healthy and he can't stay available for the team.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Enjoy the game tonight. Sabres and Blues will have the game here on WGR. Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
You still haven't named a Blue.
What do you mean named a Blue?
We were going to do that yesterday. Could we name a St. Louis Blue?
Name
I don't think we
the
were
Blues.
Able to do it.
Jordan Binnington.
You hate him.
Everybody hates him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Everybody hates him. Well, he's a jerk.
Yes.
By the way, I was having this conversation yesterday. I don't think this will happen, but I was very surprised to see after the year. I didn't know this rule. There's a rule in the CBA about buyouts on players that are under 26 years old. If the Sabres were to buy out Matias Samuelsson because he's under 26 after the season, it's not half the money. It's a third of the money.
Oh.
So basically, it's a long time. Keep this in mind. If they were to buy him out after the year,
he'd be Bobby Bonilla.
He would be. They would be charged a cap hit every season until 2035.
Yeah, great.
But every year the cap hit would be $714,000.
Okay, here's the real question. How much this is the Jeff Skinner point. How many dollars do they save?
Like real world dollars?
Yeah, when they bought out Jeff Skinner, they saved $7 million.
Right.
Cap hits, I mean should the Sabres be scared by cap hits?
No, and especially not a $714,000
cap
hit.
Right.
What are they going to do with it? Nothing.
Nothing.
That's a good question. The buyout on the real money.
I mean, $28 million would have been the deal, right? 7 years, like four per. So you're probably talking about a third of $22 million. Like, you save more than $10 million if you think he's not any good.
I think that's... I'm looking at it now, and I believe that's about right.
Okay. Actual dollars is what the Skinner buyout was about for me. I always thought it was about actual dollars. All right, Sabres and Blues tonight. We got to guess a hot dog later on.
$14.3 million of real money they would save.
Actual dollars.
Yeah. Just
like, never mind, we didn't do that.
Yep, over a long period of time, but yes, over $14
million. 803-0550 to join us. Pick of the week coming up. Sal, top of the hour, ahead of Bills, Chiefs, of course. Happy Thursday. It is Chiefs week on WGR.
Be caller 5 right now. It's 716-2214-WGR to win a combo ticket to the Total Sports Public Autograph Signing on November 16th at TSE Buffalo in Orchard Park. This combo ticket will give you the opportunity to get an autographed item by Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Shane Conlin, Ruben Brown. Bring your own item or you can purchase an item at the event. Visit TSEBuffalo.com for other ticket options and details.
Time for the pick of the week, Joe.
Pick of the week.
I'm also checking all the famous people from St. Louis to try and guess the name of the hot dog tonight. You know, that's, you know, routine.
Yep.
Normal stuff. Pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales, a 2019 Chevy Tahoe. Winter's coming. Winter is coming. And this loaded Tahoe will get you and your family where you need to go safely and comfortably. Check it out at riverfrontautosales.com or call my friends Marty Sr. or Marty Jr. at 886-1626. I can speak to experience. I did buy a Tahoe from Marty once. A couple of cars ago, Chevy Tahoe. Mm-hmm. Loved it. So the pick of the week is a Chevy Tahoe. My pick of the week.
Liverpool-Southampton, of course.
Would you get out with the Liverpool?
Going for number
just
one.
Get out with the Liverpool talk.
In first.
Nobody wants to hear it.
All year.
You
Let's
losers
go.
Talking
year, top
Premier
of the table.
You guys always talking Premier League all the time. Who wants to hear that?
28 points.
Who wants to hear it?
Love it. City's window's closed. They're saying it. The window is closed.
City's window is closed.
Yeah.
They have lost four in a row on like across all competitions.
Yes, they have.
I really want to go with Steelers-Ravens. I got to do Steelers-Ravens. It's the game of the week that's not Bills-Chiefs.
Yeah, it's good.
Or tonight is, I mean,
tonight
I'm excited
is good.
To see a good chunk of a Jaden Daniels game.
Yeah.
You know, he has not run the ball nearly as much since he had the cracked ribs. He was like 10 attempts per game before and his 6 attempts per game afterwards.
Yeah.
But pick of the week will make Ravens and Steelers. Why not? Because I'd like to see the Steelers get smashed in that game, even though we're, you know, mad at Baltimore. I don't care.
Do we not? No, this is dumb. Do we want the Ravens to not be a wild card team because we don't want them in the first round?
I can't think that far yet.
That's too far. Okay,
I'll have those conversations in like week 14.
Just preparing everyone that could be a thought process down the road of, hey, can we like not open the playoffs with Baltimore, please? Because the division was so good that they ended up with like six losses.
If that's the case, aren't they most likely going to play Houston?
Probably. You would think they'd be the five. And the Bills getting the four seems pretty unlikely, I think.
Although, I think every wild card team is going to be dangerous this year. Because the middle of the AFC, you're the seven seed, it's going to be either the Chargers, the Broncos, the Bengals. And that might be it. I think there's some danger in the seven seed. Another reason to really try and get that one.
Where is that game this week? Is it in Pittsburgh? Yes, it's in Pittsburgh.
Okay. And Pittsburgh did just play Jaden Daniels and held him to very little rushing yards.
Yes, they did.
They have experience playing Lamar. It is the 36th time John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin will meet. Break time. Sal coming up with the latest on the Buffalo Bills and the injury reports. All coming up here on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.